Well, what a joy to have Real Life Church online. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We hope you're enjoying the service today and that you sense the presence of God in your home. So today is the National Day of Prayer and Fasting, as Pastor Bethman said. I thought it'd be really good if we could all pray for Australia. So if you're at home, if you could, you put your hand upon your heart, and we're just going to pray for our nation today. And dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we join together with Christians all through Australia and we pray for our country today. And Lord, we are in turmoil. Our country is in a crisis. And so we call upon the name of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will rescue Australia. But Lord, we also pray not only will you rescue us, but we pray, Lord, that, Lord, you'll move across Australia. We pray during this difficult time that Australians will call upon the name of the Lord. We pray, Lord, this will be an opportunity for the church, Lord, to reach out and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray for our Prime Minister today and the various premiers around the country. We thank you for their leadership and we bless them, give them wisdom at this time. We pray, Lord, for the doctors and the research people who are working on a vaccine. We just pray, Lord, you'll give wisdom to them so they can come up with a vaccine. We pray for Australia, Lord, that our death rate here will be very, very low. We pray over businesses, Lord, that they will not collapse, but Lord, they'll be able to persevere and come through strong. And Lord, we pray for us. We pray for our church. We pray for our seniors, our young people. We pray for our church family that, Lord, this will be a season, Lord, of pushing into you. And Lord, we pray we'll emerge from this bad time, this crisis, Lord, stronger than what we've ever been before. So Lord, we pray for Australia. We call her by name. We present her to the Father in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Well, praise God. Well, I've got a word from the Lord that I've been just meditating upon. And so if you could, nobody get up at home, if you could stay seated where you are. I'll know if you get up. I'll know if you walk out to the fridge. So glad that you're here. Thank you so much. But today, I'm going to begin this message. We are in serious times. In difficult times, as everybody keeps saying. But I want to start this message today with something that might sound a little bit trivial. I want to start with a trivial question, but it then will lead us to the core of today's message. So here we go, and I want to start with an opening question. And the opening question is this. Have you ever had, ladies and gentlemen, have you ever had a home appliance that unexpectedly broke down and you knew that was going to cost you a lot of money? Could you put your hand up if that's you at home? Yeah, yep, I can see you. I think just about everybody at some point in their time have experienced and felt that frustration and annoyance when a home appliance no longer works. The appliance could be anything. It could be a vacuum cleaner. It could be your washing machine. It could be the iron. It could be the hot water unit. And eventually, all of these things, you know, they all do eventually break down and they all need replacing sooner or later. Recently, in my home, our hot water storage unit suddenly broke down about 5 weeks ago. You know, ladies and gentlemen, for 11 wonderful years, our hot water unit functioned perfectly. And like most people, I took our hot water unit for granted. I never even thought about it because the hot water was always there when I turned the tap on. Thank God for our hot water units. Then one day, I got up to have a shower. And yes, I was standing there. And cold water came out of the hot water tap. It was a traumatic experience. I've been going for counseling ever since. But I never saw it coming. There was no indication it was going to happen. It was also very sudden, unexpected, and very unpleasant. And I was unprepared. I tried to see if I could fix the hot water unit by myself. But this was one situation that was beyond my control. And I felt helpless, and I felt very frustrated. And my wife kept nagging me to get it fixed. Amen. Normally, I like to linger under the shower, a hot shower, but the cold water took away the usual enjoyment of having a shower. They were now 3 seconds long. Poor Rochelle, she just wept upon my shoulder and sucked her thumb. Amen. She didn't do that. But it seems to me that home appliances break down at the most inconvenient times, like an iron. You know, you've got to iron your shirt, you've got an appointment, and suddenly your iron's not working. But imagine that after getting frustrated about an appliance breaking down, imagine that you then find out that your appliance is still under warranty. And most importantly, very importantly, that you still have that little receipt and paperwork to prove it's under warranty. That appliance company that you've forgotten all about, you know, that you did business with, they promised you those years ago that they would replace the appliance if it broke down before a certain expiry date. And you know, some of you may have even been talked into purchasing an extended warranty. Of course, at the time when you got your warranty, you never thought you would need to claim that warranty. I mean, who does think about that? You think your appliance is going to work forever. But now you are just so glad that you kept that little receipt with its little date in clear print that guarantees you a brand new appliance. So how would you feel after finding a valid warranty to an appliance that has broken down in your home? How would you feel? Especially if it was an expensive appliance. Well, I think you would feel good. I feel good. Surely your frustration at your loss would give way to a sense of relief. You would certainly feel a lot better. But you know, perhaps you'd forgotten all about the warranty. And you only found it because someone reminded you, hey, you just might have a warranty. You need to go and look for it. So now you're feeling good. So now you are very pleased that what started out as a home appliance disaster for you has now turned out really, really well. And you know, sure, okay, you will be inconvenienced until you get your new appliance. Sure, you will have to live without that appliance until the company makes good on its promise to you. But now you can relax about the money. Now you can relax because you know that you will have your broken appliance replaced by a brand new appliance. And it will be replaced all because you had an agreement with that appliance company and because you kept the receipt of purchase. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, as sure as your appliances will eventually break down, you can also be sure that troubles and problems and plagues and worldwide disasters will happen, and they will affect you, and they will affect your family in some way. The world is always full of trouble. Trouble. Can we all say that word? Trouble. And you at home especially. While old Job was scratching his boils, he managed to blurt out how frail is humanity. How short is life? How full of trouble. Poor old Job actually said that after you just lost everything. Even Jesus said this, in the world you shall have trouble. And right now, I'm stating the obvious, but right now we are in the middle of a worldwide massive breakdown moment. We're in the middle of a global virus. We're in the middle of panicky governments. And we're in the middle of a collapsing global economy. And our lives have been turned upside down. Your life probably has been turned upside down. And we're understandably unsettled by what's happening. And we're getting a little bit rattled by what is happening. And we feel vulnerable and we feel hopeless because we actually can't fix this one this time. No one dreamed, certainly not here in Australia, no one dreamed that within a couple of months of our recent severe bushfire season, that a pandemic would hit us and that our society would be practicing social distancing. I'd never even heard of that a couple of months ago. Indeed, Australia, and thank God for Australia, Australia's a great country, but you know, Australia, like many other first world countries, we've enjoyed stability for so long. We've enjoyed safety for so long. We've enjoyed economic strength for so long that we just took it for granted that it would always be there, just and that it would be always forever, just like I took for granted that my hot water unit would always be there. But then the coronavirus came. I'd never even heard of it. This coronavirus came, and it came suddenly, and it came unexpectedly, and we were not prepared for it. And now this bubble of invulnerability has been burst well and truly, and it is really scary, and people are very, very afraid, and understandably so. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're not the only generation to face such challenges. In the ancient world, the Bible days, there were many plagues and many rampant viruses. The worst plague in history, of course, was the Black Plague during the 14th century, and some of you would have learned about that at school. And even just 100 years ago, the world was hit by the Spanish flu. It struck right at the end of the First World War, and it was devastating. You just think about it. These young soldiers had fought through the First World War. They'd survived and got through the war, and then many of them ended up dying from the Spanish flu. It was terrible. In fact, the idea of social distancing today in times of pandemics actually began with the Spanish flu. That's when they introduced it way back then. But the truth is, these terrible plagues and pestilences, they did pass away, and the world picked itself up, and then the world continued on, and this terrible season that we're in will eventually pass as well. But today, right at this moment in time, we do have this awful pandemic. And the future for Australia and for you and your family, it is uncertain. Of course it is. And you know, the truth is, Australia may never, ever be the same again. And maybe in some ways that might be a good thing. I don't know. You know, we have an economy that is about to collapse. We are on the brink of collapse. And worst of all, we dwell in a nation that's been seized by such a powerful and irrational spirit of fear. And that's the picture that we see on the news every day at the moment. That's the bad news that we're all being bombarded with. But thank God, there is some very good news in this season of turmoil as well. And I don't know about you at home, but certainly for me and my family, we prefer the good news rather than the bad news. It's okay to talk about the good news, bad news, but we want to talk more about the good news. It's all right to talk about the virus, but we need to talk about Jesus. Therefore, before we all throw in the towel and give way to fear and panic, real life church, before we give way to depression and say, woe is me, before we become overwhelmed with anxiety, I just got to remind you all, I wish to remind everybody at Real Life Church, especially because we are followers of Jesus Christ. I just want to remind you of that. You're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to remind you that this very crazy, unsettling moment in human history is subject to God's divine warranty. There is a divine warranty. And I'm concerned, really concerned, that we've forgotten as Christians about the guarantees of God. We've forgotten about the promises of God. We've forgotten about the warranty that God has given to us. And that's what I want to remind you about today. Yes, it is true that our nation's bubble of invulnerability may have been burst, absolutely. But God always has the last word over every dark storm that comes your way because you belong to Him. That's a good place at home to shout out hallelujah. And God has got this moment in history covered. He's got it covered. And God has got you and your family covered as well. You know, as severe as the situation is, and I'm not trying to trivialize anything at all, not at all, but as severe as a situation may appear to be, God has the resources, God has the power, and God has the desire to bring you through because you are a child of God. And God loves you, right where you are at home. God loves you and your family, and He cares for you. For God has said this, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Amen. And Psalm 34 verse 19 says, the righteous person, that's followers of Jesus, the followers of Jesus face many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When life breaks down, and it has a habit of doing that, doesn't it? When life breaks down like it has recently, you have a rescuer. You have a restorer. Your rescuer is Jesus Christ, the Holy Word of God. And my dear brothers and sisters, Jesus has not gone anywhere and left you alone. Jesus is with you right in your storm, no matter what's going on with your business, no matter what's going on with your health. Jesus is with you. His presence is with you in your home, your lounge room, right now. Jesus is with you. And if you're anxious and fretful, then just listen to Jesus say to your storm, peace, be still. So dear brothers and sisters, it's time to recheck the small print on heaven's warranty and see what the Lord has promised you. Of course, heaven's warranty is splashed all across the pages of the Bible, and in particular the New Testament. Now, we know appliance warranties are subject to expiry dates, but that is not the same with God's warranty for you and your family. Rather, Jesus Christ is the guarantee. Jesus Christ is the living, everlasting receipt, eternally validating Almighty God's divine warranty that he has given to you. Jesus remains the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the eternal guarantee of heaven's warranty over your life and over your future life in heaven. Amen. Amen. The Bible uses another word for warranty, and that word is covenant. And a covenant is simply an agreement between two parties. Just as an appliance company makes an agreement with a purchaser to replace a defective product, and we call that a warranty, so Almighty God makes an awesome agreement with those who repent and surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. Although splashed over the pages of the Bible, and the Bible is a big book to read, isn't it? Though this warranty is splashed over all of the pages of the Bible, this profound warranty can be summed up just by one beautiful Bible verse. It's compressed down into one verse, and here it is. John 1, verse 12 says this, but to all, that includes you at home, but to all people living around the world, but to all who believed, trusted in Jesus and accepted, that means they've relied on him, God gave the right, the privilege to become children of God. That's the warranty in a nutshell. Amen. Seriously, that's the best warranty in the world. And it's mind-boggling. It's a mind-boggling promise of God that is available for anyone who dares to trust Jesus with their life. And maybe today you're at home and you've never trusted Jesus with your life and you're wondering what on earth is going on in the world today. Well, you know, why don't you trust Jesus with your life today? Why don't you say, Lord, I want to put my trust in Jesus, and Almighty God will make you to be his son or his daughter today. When you agree with God to trust Jesus with your life, past, present, and future, then God agrees to make you his child, his son, his daughter. He adopts you into his very own family. And God is faithful. He's so faithful to his agreements. The Bible actually declares that God always stands by his agreements. It actually says, the words are, the Father or God always stands by his covenants. He is faithful. And the agreement to adopt you and make you his child has been signed and sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, who gave his life on the cross for you so you could have God as your heavenly Father forever. You trusted in Jesus, and now Almighty God, you could say, is your dad, Abba, Father, Dada, Dad. God is your heavenly dad. That's the agreement. You trust it, he becomes your heavenly father. And good dads always take care of their kids. That's what dads are supposed to do. Good dads always take care of their kids, especially in times of global pandemics and crashing economies. I know for myself, I'm a father of two young men now, but I would do anything for my kids. My wife would do anything for our kids, no matter how old they are, because that's what you do. That's what mums do. That's what dads do. That's what dads are supposed to do. And in view of what we know is right to look after our kids, consider this statement by Jesus. Jesus said, if you then, though you are evil, that's compared to God, that's what that means, and you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more, how much more, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? God is our good, good Father. God has blessings for you, even in these turbulent times. His blessings have not dried up. Amen. Did you know the blessings of God are not subject to the Australian economy? So the whole country can go bust, but there's still blessings from God. Still blessings from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Your Father in heaven loves you deeply, and he will bring you through this difficult season. Absolutely, absolutely. He's well able to do that, and he's willing to do that. In fact, God won't just bring you through this time, but God is actually planning to provide for you. There's provision for you already. God's planning to take care of you. He's taking care of you already. And God's planning to stretch you so you can grow and know him more and more and more. This season of turbulence and uncertainty can be thrive time for you and your family. Praise God. Hallelujah. Count it all joy, I heard this morning. Amen. So, dear Christian, just about finished. Dear Christian, you may have forgotten, but I'm reminding you today that there is a divine warranty from God that has you covered in the ups and the downs of life. Your Heavenly Father still has got his eye on you. He's watching you. He's watching over you. Sure, you'll be inconvenienced while our society reacts to the current crisis. We're all being inconvenienced. Sure, you may have to live without your usual comforts for a little while and routines while our nation rebuilds. You may have to be isolated. Sure. You may have to tighten up financially for a while. Sure. But while the troubles and storms are raging, you can still say, it is well with my soul. God has me covered. You can relax in the arms of God and not give way to fear and panic. You can sleep well at night because the God of heaven, the maker of heaven and earth, is your heavenly Father. He's a good, good Father. May you be encouraged today in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, what I'd like us to do is I'd like everybody at home, if you could join with me in saying the Lord's Prayer. And as we're praying to our Father, it starts off with our Father, our Dad in heaven. It's a beautiful prayer. Most of you probably know it off by heart. But maybe you have been anxious. Maybe you have been fretful. Maybe you've been worrying and you've been afraid. But as we say and pray the Lord's Prayer to our Father, just let it all go. If you're feeling anxiety today, just let it go. No need to carry it. If you're fearful, let it go. And let the peace of God, which is part of heaven's warranty for you, just cover you today. Let it fill your mind. Let it fill your heart. And let God minister to you today. So the singers are with me now on the platform. And we're going to, with you at home, we're going to repeat the Lord's Prayer. So here we go. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever.